This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio. And it's Just Women for the next hour, talking to very interesting, intriguing and inspiring women on three very different subjects. I'm Alison Florence and my co-presenter today is Mandy Diley. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Alison. Hi. Yes, today we have three guests who I'm sure will be of interest to many listeners. And if you'd like to join in with any questions or comments, then please do email us at studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk. And we would love to hear from you.
Now, later in the programme, we'll be hearing from Martine Robbins, owner of the HR department in Woking. And she provides outsourced HR support, primarily to small and medium-sized businesses. And we'll also be hearing from Caterina Ferraro, who's just opened a new mirror hair salon in Weybridge with her husband Maurizio. So lots to look forward to. But first of all, I'd like to welcome to the studio Carolyn Cross from the Omni Beauty Salon, who's going to talk to us today about a subject which all of us ladies will go through at some time in our lives, and that is the menopause.
Indeed.
So, welcome, Carolyn.
Thank
now,
you,
we've spoken a lot of times on Just Women about beauty treatments and health issues and things, but I don't think we've ever even referred to something which affects us all later, the menopause.
It's something we're not going to get away with, isn't it, I'm afraid?
No. So it's great to have someone to come in who's greatly involved in beauty treatments to come and talk to us about the link between the menopause and other things which can affect us, which can be fixed.
Absolutely.
So now I know you've had 35 years of experience within the beauty industry, but when did you first get interested in what you could offer those going through the menopause?
I think I'm actually at that age, Alison, and I think I became more and more acutely aware that, you know, skin health, particularly of women in that age group, is an issue. And, you know, a lot of women have lots of other things happening that often they don't address it. And there is so much you can do that can really help with your improvement and the health of your skin. And there's some beauty treatments out there that can give you a little bit more of a youthful appearance without it having to be aesthetic based. And understanding what's going on, because not only is the skin changing, but sometimes we find we've got extra hair appearing on our faces, pigmentation marks. Some women have actually found they've got something as a form of acne that appearing, and you're thinking, goodness me, you know, I'm in my late 40s and I'm having this condition. What is going on? So I just, you know, I'm delighted to be here and thank you for inviting me, because I think it is something that, you know, I was saying earlier on to, you know, a couple of other ladies that, you know, it's, we go through it. It is going to happen. But it's almost a subject everybody knows, men know, but it's not discussed. It's one of those taboo subjects. And I think sometimes, you know, particularly with skin health, let's talk about it.
So what are the main changes to women's skin just caused by the menopause? And is it the same for all women, or does it depend what sort of skin you had to start with?
Well, we all go through menopause in different times, and it can affect us in very different ways. And often they say it's actually, you know, perhaps talking to your mother perhaps will give you a bit of an idea of maybe when they started, and, you know, the length of time. But again, it probably wasn't talked about, and you wouldn't have a chance to chat about it. My mother, who's passed away now, I, you know, that wouldn't be something that she would have talked to me about at all. Fundamentally, and I think maybe a lot of your listeners may know this, but just to kind of give a little bit of a guidance, because some may not, but it is a time in a woman's life where we have what we call normal systemic changes. And it's when the hormones start to decline, the hormones that were responsible for putting us through puberty now start to decline. So we're coming to the end of our childbearing years, but also lots of other factors. So unfortunately, because this main hormone starts to decline, and I'm not medical by any base, but I can give you a sort of really a guide, but your estrogen hormone, which is responsible for your female shape and everything else, starts to decline. Progesterone, which is kind of, amongst other things, is responsible for menstruation, that starts to decline. And unfortunately, then we have a male hormone in our body, which we all have as women, but a small amount, no longer has these balancing hormones there. So it becomes to be a little bit more dominant. And that's what unfortunately gives us the changes in the skin and hair growth as well.
So that's why we might sort of grow a beard on our face.
Well, yes. And I'm sure your listeners out there are thinking, oh, but you know, ladies, I'm sure there's some of you out there are getting those odd hairs that are coming through. It is normal. You're not suddenly having a big change. It is normal, but it can be dealt with.
Yeah, and what sort of treatment would you give for facial hair? Is it just a matter of plucking it out?
Or, well, I think no.
Nice
no.
No, it's not. Okay.
Well, first of all, to have hair growing on your face and coming through it, particularly as a woman, is quite disheartening.
Yes.
And it's not something we're going to necessarily discuss with our friends or our partners. Now, yes, there are lots of things to cut. Can be done within the salon, but first of thing, I think the step is to walk through that door and speak to a therapist who can guide you. Now, we've got laser and we've got IPL, which can be worked with skin reduction. Not suitable for everybody, I might add, because it doesn't work on white hairs. White hairs are when they've lost the pigment, which is what happens as we get older. But there's such things as electrolysis, which actually is a way of actually cauterizing the blood supply that feeds the hair that will actually permanently get rid of it. But there is bleaching as well, because the hair can come through at different textures. It doesn't always come through thick, coarse and wiry, but actually that can happen. So there are lots and lots of options. And I think the key thing is go and see a salon that has the reputable qualifications behind them, that can advise and guide you and give you the correct source of information. And also to have a realistic expectation, because it's not something that's just simply going to disappear. Unfortunately, menopause is here. It isn't like puberty, which disappears quite quickly. Well, it goes through its changes, but menopause is there.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, isn't it?
It is.
I'm at that age too, and I do find it difficult. Now, you've explained some of the reasons why it happens to us.
Yes.
So some of the changes that we have, they're presumably not just on our face. They can be all over our body. Can you explain what other things might happen to
us? Well, we have lots of changes. I don't know whether you ladies have been aware, but I know that, you know, I tend to have a little bit of distribution of excess body fat around that wasn't there before. And yes. Even when I'm on a very good sort of healthy eating program and exercising, it doesn't seem to want to shift.
Mm.
And you're thinking, hang on a minute, why that's not happening? Why is it not going? I mean, hence the term middle-aged spread. That's where that comes from. And it's because obviously our fat deposits are laying differently and that estrogen hormone is no more there. It's declining rapidly. And therefore our body's finding other ways of laying the fat down. Now, you know, there are lots of treatments you can have done that can help with that. And obviously healthy lifestyle is incredibly important, but there are ways that you can help. So there's like body wraps that can help.
Yeah.
And again, we have things such as G5, which are mechanical massages, which can actually help to break down any stubborn sort of areas. But again, that's one thing. We can have changes within our skin, pigmentation marks, rosacea, which is a form of maybe where it's almost like acne, but very red. It's a very different form of teenage acne. You can also have those very capillaries on the skin. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah.
You suddenly look and you think, whoa, where did that come from?
They suddenly turn up, don't they?
Absolutely. And those are some of the changes that can happen.
What about puffiness as well? Because that's something I've noticed.
Yes.
Which is, how do you get rid of the puffiness on your face?
Right.
Or elsewhere?
Okay, one of the things I'll always say is your diet is incredibly important and your consumption of water is incredibly important. Now, you know, I try and drink as much water as I can during the day. I'm going to put my hand up and say I'm not an angel. But I really notice that if I don't, that I tend to look darker under my eyes and I tend to have a lot more puffiness there.
Okay.
So consumption of water is ideal. And one of the things that I will tell my students when I'm teaching, and forgive me, I hope I'm not going to offend somebody by saying this, but I often say that a way to gauge that you are drinking enough water is to test the color of your urine.
Yes,
and there's a classic phrase where they say, pee champagne and not beer.
That's a great one.
Now, I hope that's not been too graphic for some people, but actually that's a really good way of looking. And we'd rather be champagne ladies than beer ladies,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
But that's a really good way. And in fact, drinking water, often not drinking enough water, rather is actually what can lead to cramping in your toes and your lower legs and your feet. I mean, that was given to me by a GP that gave me that comment. And I thought, absolutely, when I don't drink enough water, I get cramp in my toes, in my legs. And when I do, I don't.
Yeah, that's a good tip, isn't it?
It is. I think the problem is that a lot of people don't drink because if they're going out and about, there's a shortage of toilets and you think, what's going to happen here?
Well, actually,
you know?
Alison, do you know what?
Well, that's true because that's another issue that we have.
Yes, you can. They do say, though, if you start drinking water, eventually your body will adjust and you won't find you need to have to keep nipping off to the bathroom. It does stabilise itself out.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right. Those can be other sort of issues that can be
around. Because
often,
even on trains now, the local trains, they don't have a toilet in at all.
No, I know.
You know. What do I do? It's a bit embarrassing, really, for people, isn't it?
It can be, yes, absolutely.
So if you actually had been looking after your skin really well from a very young age, and the menopause comes along, would you expect to have exactly the same as everyone else, or do you think it might be slightly sort of less
traumatic? You would see a I would guarantee if you've taken care of your skin from very early on, and it's consistency, and results take time, you're not going to suddenly see a change within a week by suddenly thinking, you know, wake up like January the 1st, that's it, you know, off we go. It doesn't happen. It takes time. But you would see an improvement. Now, one of the things that I, you know, in my industry, we talk about one of the best anti-aging creams around. There's a couple, actually, but one of them is a good sun cream.
Yes, absolutely.
Listeners out there, you should absolutely make sure that you have a moisturizer with a sun cream in it.
Now, does that mean with which factors? Because there's two types of factors, aren't there? Could you explain?
Well, you want to go to the maximum factor, really. You're looking at 50 factor on your face and your décolleté. Now, your décolleté is your upper chest area. And that area really attracts the sun, and that's where we get pigmentation marks a lot
as well. So would that mean SPF and UVA?
Yes, absolutely. SPF I'm talking about here.
SPF.
That's what I'm talking about. And you can buy moisturisers that actually will have that embedded within them. There's another product out there that had some really high-profile news, actually, not very long ago. And I don't know if you ladies heard of it. It's retinol.
Yes.
Now, retinol is known, it has been actually, I want to say diagnosed, but that may be not the right word, recognised as being one of the best anti-aging creams around. Let me tell you what retinol does, first of all, because I don't want everybody running off and going to grab a whole tub of retinol and putting it on, because you'll find it a little bit harsh to start with. Retinol is a product that actually kind of slightly thins the skin, so therefore reducing the lines. But you have to build up a tolerance to it. It's a little bit like if you're not used to sort of having a rich meal and you're having quite a sort of basic sort of diet, and suddenly you go and have a very rich meal, it upsets you.
Okay.
It's going to be the same with the skin. So we work with Dermalogica Omni, the salon, and we have a range of retinol products there. All the girls who work in the salon go to really rigorous training on an ongoing basis, because I'm absolutely a believer in education for clients. And we give you the retinol products, for example. We've got some sort of packs that we can give to clients as a starting program, but we give something with it which actually sort of neutralizes it slightly, and you build up a tolerance to it, if that makes sense, because you've got to be able to let the skin adjust to it to get that really maximum result. But that's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
Well, that's good advice as well, isn't it? Because they do. I saw something recent about retinol.
Yes, absolutely.
And it seemed to be the only thing that actually work.
It really is. And in fact, Mandy, let me go back to what you said about your eyes. Do you use eye cream?
Yes, but okay. I'm very careful, because I know you're not supposed to put it too close to the eye.
You can work what we call the orbital socket. We have a muscle round called the orbicularis oculi. It's very thin, and it's designed to be able to move in all different ways, so we can wink and screw our eyes up and everything else. And that obviously adds, we have natural aging, of course. We've got our character lines. But your amount of eye cream is absolutely fundamentally important. You really should only be putting on about a grain of rice.
Okay.
No more than that. It isn't more is better at all on this area, because actually it's so thin. So a grain of rice is probably the amount you should have. And take using your little finger, not your index finger, because it's less pressure, and patting from the outside and working your way in. No rubbing. All these things actually contribute to getting the product in correctly without causing any distress to the tissue.
Yes. That's another bit of good advice, isn't it?
I'm full of them.
And often people say that their hands and nails have gone a bit strange as well.
They do, and that is again to do with the hormones.
Is that purely hand cream then, or is there something special for the menopause that you could use?
Right, well, one of the things that happens with menopause, because estrogen obviously will affect the level of dryness, and obviously our hands and our skin can get incredibly dry. Dehydration is a lack of water, dry is a lack of oil, and we get the combination of the two, which often can happen. Putting a moisturiser on or a hand cream on a regular basis, having one by your sink and at home, and it's a habit. Absolutely, absolutely. But also remember to exfoliate, because otherwise you're sticking down dry cells that are wanting to naturally desquamate. So a regular exfoliation on the skin, so you can buy these little scrubs for your hands and your feet, and then putting a moisturiser on top.
Yeah.
And that's the same with your face and your body.
Well, I've heard it recommended for face a lot of times, saying you're just putting cream on dead skin. I've never heard it for hands and things.
Really,
so
your whole body.
Very useful, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. And we probably find, because I don't know about you ladies, but I find my arms get quite dry, particularly the upper part. parts of my arms and my elbows and things like that. So I will have use a buff in the shower every day. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of products up there that you can use on a daily basis, but do make sure it states particularly, because some can be quite harsh and you know, you're going to make your skin quite sore. But exfoliating regularly is important, because what it will do is stimulate the sebaceous glands, and if that in fact is your oil glands, which is what you would like to do.
Now, often people feel a bit sort of vulnerable when they've got the menopause and things, and feel, oh, I'm getting older and I'm not going to look as young as I used to. So what other things can you do apart from the sort of treatments for the skin? I mean, things like eyelashes and things like that?
There are indeed. I'm really glad you've mentioned that, Alison. Often we kind of think, you know, I'm going through the menopause, and you're feeling pretty low at times. It's a roller coaster, isn't it, ladies?
Yes. I mean, we think we're losing our femininity, but
you do. And then, I don't know about you, but I think I said to you earlier on, Mandy, I'm making my husband read everything. Because you know what? It affects the whole family, and it isn't just about what you're going through, but they often don't know. But what you said there, Alison, there are things we can do as women for our femininity and also to make us feel good. Now, and you don't have to go be having, you know, the traditional or the aesthetics like your Botox and your fillers, and it is out there, and it is for some women because that's what they choose to do. But there are treatments like you can have for the eyes. Now, I'm an avid believer on getting your eyelashes tinted or lifted, or having an extensions, because they open the eye, and tinting the eyebrows. Our eyebrows naturally fade with age. We don't often think of them as being a typical aging area. We recognise our jaw slightly gets a bit softer, and our characteristics, we've got a few more lines and wrinkles, and it's a bit drier. But if you look at somebody who's going through a certain age, you'll notice that the colour gets slightly lost on the eyebrows. So having an eyebrow tint and having your eyelashes tinted or lifted, or having an extensions, it's like having a mini facelift. You look amazing. It absolutely opens the face. You feel so much better. And yes, it's there for you.
So that's what we need to do.
Yes,
you do.
So can you just give us a bit of advice? Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the interview now, because we've got another couple of guests to do.
That's gone quickly.
We could have done a whole hour on this, Caroline. But if people would like to come and even just talk to you about what's around.
Of course.
Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Give us details of where your salon is.
We're based,
whether they can talk to you on the phone.
Absolutely. Alison and Mandy, as you know, I'm actually the owner of Omni Academy of Beauty and Aesthetics. So it's a training academy. We have a commercial salon called Omni the Salon, and we're based in Walton-on-Thames, which is 16 Church Street. It's in the main street next to Barclays. Professional salon. We have fully qualified therapists there who will answer any questions. And even if you just want to give me a call and ask a question over the phone, our number is 01932 481616. You'll be more than welcome.
And what about your website?
Our website is www.omnithesalon.co.uk.
And is there a lot of information on there that people can just read about what's on offer as well?
There is. We have quite a full and in-depth website there, which will tell you about our treatments that are going on, and certain things that we talked about today you'll find available as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming in, and hopefully next time you come in, you won't even recognise Mandy and I.
You'll have lash lifting and everything else.
Yes. Framing my face with lovely eyebrows.
Yeah. No beards.
No beards.
Get rid of that moustache.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yes, exactly.
No puffiness.
No.
And I feel sexy again. That's what I
mean. Totally.
Yes.
Valentine's Day is coming, isn't it?
Yes.
There we go.
We're all down there.
Our husbands are better start worrying.
I think so.
Right, well, thanks again for coming in.
That's
now
a pleasure.
In the second part of our programme today, we'll be talking to Martine Robbins, and she's from the HR department, Woking. So please stay with us.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Discover the delights of Lebanese cuisine at the Brilliant Mazat in Weybridge. Found right in the town centre, this popular restaurant and grill offers locals a great dining destination and the chance to sample some of Lebanon's greatest dishes. Whether it's a meal for two, a meal out with a family, or dinner with a group of friends, Mazat guarantees an enjoyable experience.
Are you selling? Are you renting? If so, your first step is to talk to the team at V&H Homes. V&H Homes is an award-winning estate agency that covers Ashstead, Fetcham, Leatherhead, Epsom and now Bookham. With experienced and welcoming staff, we are an expanding and market-leading agency that you can trust. Call us today to discuss your property requirements and request a free valuation with no obligation. Or why don't you visit our website at vhhomes.co.uk and see what our customers have to say about us. We know you'll be impressed. V&H Homes is extraordinary. Come and see why.
Your family's well-being is your everything, and at West Byfleet's private GP clinic, we provide accessible, expert advice for everyone. GP appointments, earwax removal, travel clinic, health checks, blood tests, aesthetics, to name but a few of our services. Visit privategpclinic.co.uk or speak to our friendly team on 01932 344 004. Private GP Clinic West Byfleet is regulated by the Care Quality Commission.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello, welcome back to Just Women. Our second guest for this part of the programme is Martine Robbins from the HR department in Woking.
Hi there.
Welcome to Just Women.
Thank you very much.
And it's lovely to have you here. We'd love to know a little bit more about what brought you to being HR department Woking and how that came about.
Well, basically, it was a decision 2 years ago to come out of corporate HR and decide to work for myself. I got to the point where I felt I'd achieved everything in a corporate HR role. I had a little bit of an insight into the SME world locally, and I felt it would be a great opportunity to work more with SME business owners and use the benefit of my knowledge and experience gained over those many years in corporate world and help them grow their businesses, because often it's about making what I do more accessible.
Yeah.
And it's finding a way of doing that, and I've seemed to have sort of latched onto that now, which is great, and I'm really enjoying it.
And did it feel like a natural transition then? So, or were there hurdles you had to overcome, or was it fairly smooth?
Yeah, I'd say it's fairly smooth. I think you have to sort of leave some of the corporate baggage behind, not least of all the language that you use, and perhaps the way you behave, particularly if you've been in that environment for a long time, you can get quite conditioned by it. But really, it's about trying to, say, you know, market what you can do for small and medium-sized business owners in a way that they can see the value, and it is all about adding value.
Brilliant. So when you were in the corporate world, were you commuting to London,
I've done all those things. Yes. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So I've spent a lot of time sort of commuting to London, commuting around Europe and further afield. So the business travel thing, yeah, been there, done it, got the t-shirt. It's not glamorous. It's quite hard work. And I think you get to a point where you learn a lot from the experiences. From a cultural perspective, it was fabulous, but it gets to a point where you think, I've seen enough planes now, I'm quite happy to just see the inside of my own office and live with that.
And your family, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Your family are pleased to have you not jetting off everywhere.
Yes. I think when my children were very young, they didn't really mind that much. But as they get older, they need you in a different way.
That's the right way around.
And it's nice to be able to be there and sort of, you know, help them through the challenges of school and GCSEs and all the other good things that are coming through at the moment. So I'm enjoying that as well.
So when you actually worked abroad in corporate HR, did you find they did things a lot differently to how we do them, in a better way or not such a good way?
I think it depends on the company and the country. So around Europe, you get a lot of similarities with some of the country approaches. Obviously, the legislation is very different. So at the time when I was doing a European HR role, I was responsible for 12 countries in Europe. So apart from the UK, there were 11 different languages, 11 different employment structures to sort of be aware of and to work within. So for that, it was challenging, but I had a team to work with me. But I did enjoy the fact that, again, you could go out and work with different businesses, different business owners and stakeholders and take them through the journey. You know, if you're trying to introduce a new initiative, it would be great to get them on board. And often making sure that you're understanding what that means, and it is about the cultural differences. You know, people often sort of laugh about it, but there are some quite hefty ones out there in different countries, so you have to be mindful of it. And I think if you are a European or a global business, if you're not losing sight of the fact that, you know, communicating effectively with another country that hasn't got English as its first language, you know, always find the different ways to communicate correctly, you often get the success you're looking for.
So what sort of things would they have in other countries that you think, gosh, we'd never have that in this country?
Wow. I think a lot of it is just the protection around legislation, really. So we always used to joke when I worked in my European role that we wanted to be German on a Dutch contract with some of the Belgian benefits, because all of those things thrown in were a great combination. But when you sort of separate them out, a lot of Central European legislation is very, very similar. Lots of protection for the employee, more challenges for the employer.
So was that changing when we all went into the EU? So we sort of got ones that are set down by the EU then? Will it change when Brexit
happens?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously when we went into the EU, we adopted a lot of their legislation, and I think the most value that has been added there is for health and safety. Having spent some time in engineering, manufacturing and construction industries, I could understand some of the perils and the pitfalls, particularly relating to health and safety. So I think, you know, one of my hopes is with Brexit is that we actually take the best of the legislation that's come through from Europe on health and safety, not the bureaucratic stuff, because I think it's got its foundations within UK business now, and everybody quite likes working to those structures. But a lot of the other things, I think, you know, would be a good opportunity for a rethink, which I'm sure we will be getting.
I mean, that's invaluable, I imagine, for a small new company, because they won't come on board, they won't start a company with all of that knowledge.
Exactly.
And actually, that's a new thing to learn, isn't it?
It is.
You need people with expertise.
That's the challenge. And I think, you know, often the reason why someone starts their own business is because they want to provide a service or a product. And they're very focused and energised in doing that. And all the peripheral stuff, whether it's the legal stuff or the accountancy support or the HR stuff, is way down on the list. Because that's not the reason why they went into business, unless they happen to be working in those industries. So it's making sure that you can help a business owner focus on that core area of expertise.
Because actually, technically speaking, and I know it sounds a bit dramatic, but if you're running a business and very enthusiastic and put a lot of money in, and you employ someone but you don't protect them or whatever, they could actually sue you for all your money, couldn't they, if they were really permanently injured or something. So it's so important for them. They probably might not even think like I've just thought but it's so useful to have all those things set up.
Are you taking their pain away, actually, because that's a painful part of the business.
It is It's very painful. I do see myself as a painkiller in that respect.
Because
you're right. I mean, you know, some of the challenges we've got around legislation, whether it's just employment legislation or health and safety, is very, very challenging and very complex. And again, business owners haven't got the time, the inclination or the expertise to pick apart how it applies to their business or what the implications could be for their business. So it's trying to, again, guide them through, de-risk the situation and sort of say to them, right, okay, you know, these are the choices. And again, they don't want the 20 reasons why they can't do something. They want the one reason that can help them move forward if they're sort of dealing with a particularly challenging situation.
It's the one thing, really, that you've actually noticed that so many people don't realise needs to be covered when they've got a small business?
I think a lot of it is just really the basic initial compliance, which is make sure that you have a good contract of employment. I still come across businesses that have been trading for many, many years that don't have employment contracts now. And as you have pointed out, the fact that employment tribunal fees have been rescinded as of July last year, you know, if you have employees with over 2 years' service, you are at risk. If you know you could be in a challenging situation with an employee, those things can just rise up out of nowhere, and you can't always anticipate it. So I think the key is make sure you have something that is robust, that is actually right for your business as well, not just a boilerplate template off the internet. Have something that is tailored to your business, so you know that everything that you want to achieve from a business point of view is captured in a contract, if that's what you're looking to do.
So what about firms where people are working with lots of equipment which perhaps might be very old or something and go wrong and really injure them? I mean, would your advice even sort of cover things like these really need to be replaced for health and safety reasons, or is that not really your domain?
No, yeah, we do advise on health and safety as well. So again, we can go in, we can do health and safety audits of their procedures, their practices, whether it's manual handling, all sorts of different aspects, particularly if they are in a heavy duty industry such as, you know, engineering, manufacturing businesses. Again, they have to be so compliant these days, and many try their hardest, but again, the raft of legislation just gets bigger and bigger. So again, my advice would be is if you're unsure, is to seek some advice. Again, you can get very clear guidance, even just initial guidance, often for free from someone like myself, just to give you some idea of where the pointers are that you need to focus on, because you know it's making sure that you're not setting yourself up for a fall and a very expensive cost, and also potentially harming somebody, and it could be life-changing injuries or even fatal. So,
because I think sometimes now, you know, when someone says, "Oh no, you can't do that," you say, "Why?" They say health and safety, and you think, "Oh, not again."
Yeah,
because it seems sometimes to have gone a bit over the top.
Yes,
but maybe we're just not focusing on what it could do to you, and you think, "Oh well, I suppose you know it could do that," but it sometimes seems that things that we've always done and never got injured are not allowed anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you find that sometimes even in your role?
Very much so. There's no substitute for common sense at the end of the day. So, I mean, you know, and health and safety, a lot of it is common sense with a framework. So if you think you're putting yourself or others at risk by, you know, doing something that you're not comfortable with, then you're probably right. You are going to put yourself in sort of a risky situation.
My grandfather used to say, I don't know why it's called common sense, because it's not very common, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, and you think, yes, I know, you know, but yeah. And I suppose, you know, things where you're lifting things, if they haven't treated you or taught you how to lift things properly, you could injure your back, and that can affect you for life, can't it? Even things like that. It must be very, very complicated for you.
It can be, and certainly when I was in corporate roles, you know, we used to have to do a lot of work on, you know, manual handling and forklift truck driving, all those sorts of things, because, you know, if it's fundamentally part of your business, you have to show that you're protecting your employees as best you can, and you're protecting the business as well, because you know, people pull a muscle in their back, they can be off for weeks, so you have to replace them or get someone to step up, so it's a challenge.
It's such a business headache, and of course you've talked about health and safety, but what about staff, the nitty-gritty with staff issues? I mean, I'm sure somebody like you would save a company a lot of money by getting in before the staff problems arise, because often people lose staff when there's no need, and if they had someone like you, you would be able to help them look after their staff in the right way, would you, because of all that? Because there is that element to HR as well,
exactly,
isn't there?
Exactly. I think just because I've worked at a higher level, I've worked at HR director level, I've got a better view, I think, perhaps, than many, because I've done the strategic blank piece of paper, scope out what a business is trying to achieve, where its people strategy is concerned. And likewise, I've been the other end of the scale and I've rolled up my sleeves and I've helped, you know, exit people from the business or undertaken initiatives because, you know, that's the way I've always operated. And it's important not to lose sight of, again, trying to understand what that business is wanting to achieve. So even, you know, a small business has growth goals that they want to achieve. And for me, it's about sitting alongside those business owners and saying, OK, where do you want to be in 12 months, 18 months, 2 years? What's the business going to look like? And what does that mean from a people point of view? And helping them scope out exactly what they're looking for, whether it's managing people that may already be on board, and it could be family members, it could be people that have been with them from day one, it could be bringing new people into the business, and managing that transition, because often when you have a small business and it's made up of family members and people that have been there from day one, as soon as you start to grow and you bring new people in, the whole dynamic changes. And that's often when lots of problems sort of start, because people aren't accepted, or, you know, people start to feel threatened. And that's when I can often go in and say, right, OK, let's take a back step here. Let's understand what we're trying to do, manage the communication, understand where the little sort of niggles are, and sort of look to iron them out. Because, again, from a business perspective, the owner doesn't want that. Like they're growing their business. Mm-hmm. They're trying to take the next step forward. They've made a lot of time and effort and money investing in that.
So effective communication is key, isn't it? At that
very
point,
much so.
To stop you or stop a company from losing stuff that they don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And I think often you see that happening where people leave and, you know, they don't want them to leave, but it's too late. They've gone.
Yeah, it's too late.
If only you'd managed that or had someone in like you to manage it.
My favourite two words are communication and education. So it is about talking, making it very clear what the business owner expects of those people that work for them. And likewise, from an education point of view, it is about developing people, you know, giving people an opportunity. And that's not just about, you know, people that are young and straight out of college. That's throughout the whole of your workforce. You know, we've got apprenticeships, lots of of different ways that companies can tap into resources to help them develop their people. And if you have developed people, you have engaged people, which means you have people aligned to what you're trying to achieve.
I notice you also support schools and colleges to build relationships with local businesses.
I do, yes.
So that must be very useful for children to learn at a very early age on how things should be protected and all that sort of thing.
That's an example of sort of giving back. So it's working as an enterprise advisor. So I work with a school in Farnborough, and basically you go in and you help them with their careers advice. And I know from personal experience that you know, with my daughters, that it hasn't improved since I was at school. So it's making sure that you can try to tap into you know, the local business community as well as those schools, and create opportunities. So you know, get people to go in and talk about their business, provide some opportunity for work experience. You know, it's great just to make those connections.
Well, it sounds a really, really good business to be involved with, which is going to help so many people. So if someone wants to actually get in touch and get your advice or get you to go round and look at their business, what should they do?
Basically, if they get in touch with me, it's martine.robbins@hrdepartment.co.uk. I'm based in around the Woking area. Again, if you look at my website, which is www.hrdepartment.co.uk/Woking, my details will come up there. If anybody is keen to get involved in some training, I'm also running some free training in a couple of weeks. 15th of February, a few weeks time now. So it's a free course, it's HR Essentials for small businesses. So again, my details are on the website there. We still have some places left. I'm more than happy to welcome some local business owners to come and find out just, you know, some of the basic things to give them an insight in how to do things compliantly.
And that could actually change their lives, couldn't it?
In lots of ways. And there'll be other business owners there as well to share knowledge,
networking,
best practice.
Fantastic.
Which is good.
Brilliant. Oh, well done you. Yep. Lovely. Good. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming and talking to us about it. In the final part of our Just Women programme today, we'll be talking to Caterina Ferraro. She's just opened a new hair salon here in Weybridge. So stay with us.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Apple devices and IT systems are a crucial part of modern-day businesses. Any business can be seriously disrupted by unexpected IT failure. If you're a business owner and your company needs peace of mind Apple Mac support, please call 07907 795000 or visit www.rafalcookler.com and speak with Rafal, your local Apple certified support professional today. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
Many sources believe in better, believe in healthier, believe in greener and believe in quality.
Whether I'm making a barbecue, roast, stir-fry, a curry, casserole or stew, Manish sauces have the right sauce for me to impress with my cooking.
Manish sauces are ideal for parents to easily make healthy and tasty meals for their children, keeping them happy and healthy.
I like it that they're free from allergens, vegan-friendly, 100% British, and there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
So whether it's marinades, cooking sauces, table sauces or curries, Manny's sauces make a difference and help you take control of your kitchen.
Do what I did. Visit mannysauces.com to see their awesome range of sauces.
Manny's sauces, it's the only hot sauce and marinade you need.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
And welcome back to the final part of our programme today with me, Alison Florence, and my colleague, Mandy Dynley. Now, our third guest today is Caterina Ferraro, and she is part of a husband and wife team who've recently opened a hair salon in Weybridge. So welcome to the programme.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No problem. Now, your experience goes back a long way, doesn't it? Is it 19 years?
Yes, that's correct.
How have things in hairdressing changed in that time?
It hasn't changed really much. I think it's really coming and going, the trends that it's been coming back and forth, and especially like, I don't know, there could be like a certain hairstyles and waves that they are from the 70s and they are coming back in, you know, like messy, beachy hair, a little bit of more boho and all that. So I think it's a little bit more of a, like a circle that, you know, the trends are constantly circling, so it's not really much of a new stuff coming out.
Is it more that people would maybe colour their hair now where they wouldn't used to? Because I mean, I remember sort of people of our sort of generation years ago that all just had grey hair, and there was none of these sort of stripes or coloured bits in or anything. So has that changed a lot?
Yes, that definitely has, and at the moment it's got a quite a massive impact onto the exploring, doing all the funky, crazy colours, and having a quite a nice pastely colours, which is quite in at the moment.
But even for older people,
even for older, And I've seen, and to be honest, it actually suits people. Yeah. I think any kind of age, anyone can find the right colourful.
Yeah, those soft mauves and soft pinks are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
What colour do you think Mandy and I might suit? What would suit us?
Yeah, I think, it's not. Yeah, it's not far off.
What, mauve?
No, it's, green maybe for me. No, no.
At the moment, it's actually quite nice. You know, I think obviously you having a nice highlights and everything put in, so that's quite always nice and easy to maintain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Maintaining. Maintenance is a big thing. I mean, I need my roots doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I remember back in the day, we used to have the cap. Now, of course, techniques have changed.
Oh, definitely have changed,
even though the styles may be coming round, the techniques have changed. What technique do you think in the hairdressing industry is the most exciting new technique?
Well, there's loads of people talking about it all the time, about a balayage, and I think everyone's trying to have that sort of look, you know.
I love the balayage.
It's, So, and it's quite even interesting for the hairdressers, because it's not just a, like a super technical, you know, and it has to be put a certain way. You can actually a little bit more explore by yourself and use your imagination and use the different colours, different tonings. And it's actually brilliant for maintaining. So anyone who would want to have slightly different colour or something different,
quite fancy a balayage.
It's quite nice. You know, you've got the dark roots, you know, and then the ends, they go like lighter.
It's so, fading. Of all the styles that I've seen, the styles, the colours, or the, I think balayage is one of the most flattering.
Yeah, definitely.
For most women, I would say.
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I would say it's. It's pretty much for anyone.
Yeah.
What is it exactly? I'm being very ignorant here. What is balayage?
So balayage, it's where you painting on a colour onto the mid-length to the ends, and then you might put few like a gentle highlights throughout the top, that it almost look like a, it's a little bit like a sun-kissed look.
Right.
So then you've got a lighter ends, and then the roots can be darker, so you don't have to colour it as often. So you know, if you touch it up pretty much to your own natural colour, so then it's easy way when it's growing out and you don't have to maintain it as often.
It's really nice. Way, it's like an elegant way of growing out your hair, but it's not. It just looks great.
Yeah,
your hair
and then
colour.
If you fancy a little bit of a changing up, there's obviously like a nice direct colours that you could put on, and it could have some pastely colours like I was talking earlier. And it's got a, like a pinky look, or a little bit of a lilac-y, you know.
And exciting.
There's even more crazy ones, like a blue-green. And you can really, really explore. And it is a colours that actually they do washed out. They're not used with a peroxide or anything. So it is quite nice as well. Even for the kits, you know, for some sort of like a little party or something, you know, for the summer holidays. You know, you can just easily put that on.
What about men? Do they do that as well now? With such a...
No, I've not really seen many men having that ban or anything.
So your
anything,
husband doesn't go
He there. Was trying. No, I'm just joking. I think men... But I do have to say that men are actually grooming a lot more than what it used to be.
Definitely.
Yes. So I would say they're definitely looking for the style. I think they spend a lot more time onto their hair than actually women
they
does.
They do, yes. Yes, I've got two sons. They definitely do.
So you can see probably having your 10 waxes at home, they like constantly rubbing their hair and trying to kind of style it, isn't it?
So do you have a lot of male customers?
Yes, we do. My husband, he is brilliant in a men's hair. And even all the styling and cutting and the variety that he got to offer, it's actually brilliant, yeah. And men, they do genuinely, like, some they don't mind having a grey hair as well. But some they do want to have a little bit of a coverage. So there's still possibility to having a tiny bit of a coverage, like a tone to tone, where it still doesn't look like a full on colour.
Yeah, you see, I don't know about you, but how do you find it with the men? Because some men, I think it's easier to colour a woman's hair from grey to another colour, but with a man, sometimes it can look more obvious.
Yes.
So you, I guess you have to be more subtle. Do you have techniques to deal with that then?
Yes, we do. So basically using something that is not too like blocked colour, nothing too super permanent. So when it's growing out, it's actually slightly washing out, you know, and it doesn't cover 100% of the white hair. So something that it just gives a little bit of a coverage, but not as strong and as full as normally
so that
women
must be,
would have.
That would be great for young guys who go grey early, because I actually love the silver look on older
Fox,
men.
Yeah.
But I think for a young man, it's quite hard to be grey, isn't it? So it's great that these techniques can make them look good.
Yeah, so there's still loads of options. And I think there's getting more and more products and more things for men in this industry, actually.
What would you say is one of the most amazing products out there? Whether you choose colouring or conditioning or... What would you say that has made a difference to women with difficult hair, whatever that might be?
Wow, this is quite difficult.
Oh, is there? Have you got a few products?
There is a tons of product on the market, but it is really depends on what people want and expect it.
So if they have really frizzy hair, for example, and they need it to look sleeker...
Yeah, there's a loads of lovely products that you could use, and they specialise for a frizzy hair. For example, in our salon, we're using Allway products. They are fully 100% natural, even the packaging, everything. Mm. And there is a loads of lovely smoothing shampoos and conditioner and masks, and also styling products. For quite reasonable price, I think, and you don't need to use it too much because it's 100% product as well. I find it that works really, really well. And also we've got an amazing, lovely, luxurious brand called Allway.
Okay,
That I totally love for so many years, and I'm always standing behind it. And, it's got a bigger range than the Allway. So it gives you loads of different products for different types of hair. So it's really difficult to say there's a specific product because each person's got a different hair. And to create certain different look, you need to use a different kind of hair product.
I just wonder, because there are products out there like that Special K, is it the keratin?
Keratin, yeah.
That's the thing I sort of... You know, they seem to be fantastic products that can change a person's hair.
They are really good. They are definitely really smoothing. And again, it is depends what people are looking for. Some people, they prefer that. Some people, they don't. Some people want to have a more of an organic. Some people, they wanted to have a more, I don't mind having a little bit of a chemical in my hair. Mm. You know, so it is really depends. But keratin... loads of people are in love with.
Mm. Is that that treatment that you put on?
It's a treatment, you straighten it in, you blow dry it in, and your hair actually should stay really nice, smooth and sleek.
Mm,
we're using a company, actually, it's called 72 Hair, they are
I would say, better than keratin complex, because they are a little bit more advanced at the moment. And they're keeping the hair still natural, so you don't get a straight look. You get a quite a nice movement. If you've got a curls, you still got the curls, but what it does, it actually just smooth the cuticle in the hair.
Actually, that's, you mentioned curl earlier. Now, do I don't know, have you ever had a perm, Alison? Do we still perm?
I could surprise you here, because I've got very, very wavy hair.
Really?
And before straightness came in, I used to iron it on the ironing board. And most of the people who know me have never seen me with wavy hair. Even my husband, I don't think.
Wow.
Because I've just never liked it. No. So I still straighten
it. You should embrace it.
I don't like it.
It's the right product. Right product, right shampoo and conditioner. And you can embrace the beautiful curls.
I just don't like it, I know. Everyone is very surprised, I must say.
But that's quite normal and quite common of people who they've got actually curly hair.
Yes.
You don't like what you've got. Well, people say that you never like what you've got. I didn't like having red hair, you didn't like having wavy hair, you know.
See, that's why I asked you about the perm, because I like my hair with a bit of a wave. It's got an awkward wave. But I wonder if people are still having their hair permed, or is that too much of a harsh product these days?
I'm 100% sure there is still, you know, still loads of people probably do, but I would say more of the older generation, but they do like to have a little bit of a lift. I think it's for their own good feel that they've had it done, but if you look at them, they don't look like that they had it permed hair. They always put the properly rollers in to just get the volume. So I think sometimes people, they get stuck to their ways and they probably like to have the perm just for their own nice feel to have that done.
So no young, trendy person would come and have a lift, though you don't?
No, not really. I think people using more of the products rather than the perming at the moment. But I'm sure it's probably going to get back to it, because there is a lot of... you know, trends of a super curly hair as well, but it's achievable a different way.
So can you sort of give us details of where your salon is and what people do if they want to get an appointment with you?
So we are here on a Baker Street in Weybridge. Our salon is called Mirror Hair Salon, and if anyone would like to make an appointment, you can either way download our app, that it's a Mirror Hair Salon app, that you can book your appointment, or you can go online. You can go on our website, which is Mirror Hair Salon .co.uk.
How do you spell mirror?
MIRRA.
Brilliant, lovely.
Or you could give us a call on 01932 849988.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, and good luck with that business. And it's
very
interesting indeed.
Lovely to meet you.
And lovely to meet you too. So thank you very much indeed to all our guests today, and also to my co-presenter, Mandy Dineley.
Thank you, Alison. Thank you very much. Just to say, we're always really keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone you think should be on our show, then please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch. Thank you.
And hopefully we'll get them on a future programme. And details of past and future guests are available on our website, and that's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can also find us on Facebook too, with some pictures as well, at /justwomenbr. And you can listen to this programme again on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, and then it'll be on our website. So thank you for listening, and now it's time for me to say goodbye. Goodbye, and it's goodbye from
me, Mandy Dineley. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.